Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear all that you would say to us this morning. Fill us with your spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And I loved it so much that when I commissioned this Advent stole, I had the original reference, which is in Isaiah, stitched into the nape of the neck, because it just really speaks to me. It speaks to me of what we are here to do, what we do when we gather every Sunday, when we gather in our midweek groups, when we do the Christmas journey. We are preparing the way for the Lord. We are voices crying in the wilderness. When I was a teenager, I was going to a non-denominational church that had a lot of really good stuff going for it. They had some good children's work and youth work, and our youth leader was really inspiring. He would come up with really fun, creative, engaging ways of getting us to think about Jesus and encouraging us in our discipleship. Sometimes he was completely aspirational. Other times it was a bit of a car crash. Thinking about one particular Sunday where this was the reading in the morning, we had been told to gather that afternoon because he had been inspired by this wonderful idea. We were going to go onto the estate that our church served and was connected with, and we were going to be voices crying in the wilderness. So we were really excited. We got together, we loaded into this little minibus, and we drove onto the estate not knowing what his plan was. I was slightly disturbed to discover when he parked up that he opened the boot and produced a trumpet. Now, this was interesting because he didn't play the trumpet. What was even more interesting was that he started marching up and down the streets of the estate, making horrible noises through this trumpet and then sporadically shouting, "Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming!" while a group of mortified teenagers trudged behind him, our heads hanging low. Now, God is sovereign. He can bring good out of all things. And who knows what happened in the spirit realm for the kingdom that day? Who am I to say wonderful things didn't happen? But on initial appearances, curtains being drawn, people scuttling into their houses and shutting the door, it wasn't the most fruitful enterprise. What does it mean to be a voice crying in the wilderness today? What does it mean to be God's messenger? Both our set readings for today from Malachi and Luke call us to prepare ourselves to be God's mouthpiece, his hands, his feet. And it's important to remember when we read these words that actually God could do this without us. He doesn't need us to do it. He wants us to do it. He wants to draw us close to him. He wants to give us the gift of being caught up in his work to this world. I want to suggest this morning that there are two ways we can be effective voices in the wilderness, and one does not work without the other. Firstly, by immersing ourselves in the love of God, and secondly, by obeying his law. Firstly, immersing ourselves in God's love. Our reading this morning tells us, valleys will be filled in, roads will be made straight, God will reorder all that we know, the lowly will be raised up, the poor will be made rich, the first will be last, and the last will be first. This is God enacting his love in the world, the making right of all things. And we know when we see the news every day that things are not right, things are not as they should be. This world is not as God designed it at this point in time. And God's love brings the righting of all those wrongs. And we need to be immersed in that love because it is not going to overflow if we ourselves are not full. When I was studying at college during one of our residential weekends away, there was a session with all of our lecturers. And it was about asking them how they nourish themselves spiritually. And I went into that session feeling pretty guilty, if I'm being honest, because I was conscious I was not nourishing myself spiritually as I thought I should be. I wasn't really having sort of designated quiet times, and life was just really busy. I left that session so inspired and so encouraged, because these extraordinary people who are rooted in their scripture, who live lives filled with love and obedience, were doing simple things every day that immersed them in the love of God. Some of them spoke about how they would go out into the country and walk. And that's what they would do. They would just walk and be with nature. And they would meet with God that way. Someone spoke about sitting in front of a real fire, switching the TV off and just watching it and meeting with God that way. Some of them, one in particular, spoke about how he'd been given some really bad advice at one point, that he was to stop listening to all opera music, even though some of it actually is written to scripture. And he became really depressed because that was a way he had met with God. And then an infinitely wise person told him to put his opera back on, and instantly he felt the presence of God again. And this will be different for each of us. We will all meet with God and be immersed in love in different ways. I'll be really honest with you. One of the most profound times of meeting with God in love at the moment is when I blow raspberries on Will's tummy. That giggle speaks straight to my heart of the love of God. I meet with God in that moment. And loving one another is meeting with God. We need to be a people immersed in the love of God. And half of that battle actually is just clocking it when it's happening. Because for so many of us, it is happening. We are doing these things. We are meeting with God. It's just acknowledging his presence and saying, thank you. You are there with me. I saw a quote on a friend's Facebook wall recently that I loved. She wrote, "What is the difference between like and love? When you like a flower, you pluck it. When you love a flower, you leave it where it is and you water it daily." I thought that was actually incredibly profound. When you like people, you want them to fit into your world. You want to take their beauty for yourself. You might enjoy that, but essentially you're absorbing what they have to give you. When you love them, you seek to serve them. And that is a different thing. And there is a blessing in that too. We receive as we do that, but it is a different thing. And I believe the same applies to God. When we really like God, we want to be with him, but kind of on our terms. We want him to fit in and around our world. And there are times, as I've just mentioned, where we do meet with God as we're going about our daily lives. But actually, true love is sacrificial. And when we truly love God, we dare to take that really bold step of saying, come, Holy Spirit, I trust you. Change me, and I know it will be for the better. That is true love. And that brings me to my next point, which is obeying God's law. The Christian faith presents us with unconditional love that cannot and will never be questioned. That is the basis and the bedrock of what we base our faith on. But there is also a challenge. That love, once we have encountered it, cannot but change us. It leaves us fueled up. It leaves us excited. It leaves us wanting to make a difference in the world. It leaves us wanting to stand up against injustice and obey God's laws, even those that are really countercultural. And that is hard to do, which is why we must be immersed in God's love. But true love comes with a challenge. Now, who among us is up to the task? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Basically, because I wouldn't put my hand up. I know I cannot do this, but I know that God through me can. I know that he can. And God's laws sometimes ask us to live in a way that makes us stand out, that makes us different to the people around us. And that's hard, which is why, again, we must be rooted in him. But our discipleship is a road towards God's deeper love. as we encounter him, so we are shaped and we are changed, and there is more room for him in our lives. So how? How do we go about obeying the law and living lives immersed in love? Well, as I say, none of us can do it in our own strength. And I find this hugely encouraging for two reasons. Firstly, it is not down to me. And there is a huge relief in that. God says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That is a joy. It is a lightness and a joy to be involved in God's ministry because it is him moving through us and among us. It is not down to us. We get to be involved. And secondly, because we can trust that he is good. If God is leading us one way, if he's given us his guidance through the law, there is good reason for that, and we can trust that he is good. And when we fall, he will pick us up again with endless love. One of the best ways I know to be assured of God's forgiveness time and time again and to stay rooted in my discipleship is to meet with people from church, as you already do. Meet in your home groups, meet in your prayer triplets. If you're not in either of those already, start them, form them. I'll talk about this more in the new year. But I am really passionate about the importance of meeting in between Sundays, because as we grow and our community gets bigger, community needs to happen in our smaller groups. We do life together as Christians. We celebrate together and we mourn together. And we cook meals for each other when we need it. We serve each other and we love each other. And we can be reminded again and again that we are forgiven and loved exactly as we are. They are places where we can explore our giftings. We can take tentative steps into leadership or where we think God might be calling us. So how do we do this? Firstly, I would say, meeting outside of Sunday. Sundays are vital. That's our celebration. But meeting in community outside of Sundays. And secondly, being still. Amanda put a slide on Facebook this week that I know many of you will have seen because you liked it and I retweeted it. But in case you missed it, it said this. Crazy busy is great armor. It is a great way to numb ourselves. What a lot of us do is we stay so busy that the truth of how we're feeling never really catches up with us. Now, I am saying this as a vicar in the middle of Advent. I know how hard it is to not be busy. But actually stilling ourselves, be that in the country going for a walk, be it in front of a fire, be it listening to an inspirational piece of music, just takes a couple of minutes. And in all honesty, any of us can do it. Time to just be before God. As we prepare by encountering the love of God and striving to be guided by his law, so we can hold on to a teaching from, in my opinion, one of the greatest theologians that ever lived, Karl Barth. And he wrote this quote during the middle of the Second World War, just to put that into context. The world in which we live is the place where Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and the present age is the time of God's long suffering until the day when that same Jesus Christ shall come again in his glory. Since this is true, the world in which we live is not some sinister wilderness where fate and chance hold sway, or where all sorts of principles and powers run riot and unrestrained and rage about unchecked. The kingly rule of Christ extends not merely over the church as a congregation of the faithful, but over the whole universe in its height and its depths. I'm going to read that last line again. The kingly rule of Christ extends not merely over the church as a congregation of the faithful, but over the whole universe in its height and its depths. And that is why being voices in the wilderness is so important, because God's love and his kingly rule is not restrained by anything. It is not restrained by these four walls. His love and his rule is for every single person made in his image. That's every car that we hear passing outside contains someone made in the image and love of God. And we have got good news to share with them. That is why we're called to be voices in the wilderness by being still, by immersing ourselves in God's love, and by being brave enough to obey his law. The world may look dark at times, but God is sovereign, and we have good news to proclaim. And we will become voices crying in the wilderness as we continue to immerse ourselves in him and obey the law and meet together and encourage one another as we still ourselves before him and allow the power of his Spirit to fill us and to break us and to make us more like him. And as we do this, so we will prepare the way for Jesus, just as the prophets did, their voices crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege of having a purpose to our lives, of being caught up in your plans and purposes for this world. We ask now that you would immerse us in your love, that you would give us the courage and conviction to obey your law, and that we would bring the good news of Jesus to all who are willing to hear this Advent. In Jesus' name, amen.